How very appropriate are the readings of today that we have heard, that we have read and chanted. First of all, we see St. Paul's admonition to all of us, which is something that, of course, is still handed down from generation to generation, all those who have been called aside to follow Christ and the priesthood. That includes popes and bishops and priests and canons too. Brethren, be ye followers of me. We are to live a life in such a way that you will have an example in us. And of course, that is what St. Paul is speaking about. And then he speaks of the glories that are to come. But those who are not followers of Christ, and those who put impediments and all kinds of things in the way of the servants of Christ, they will be very, very much punished. And then, of course, those who follow Christ, they will follow him into his glory, which is why we are here. We are not just here to hear beautiful music, or see beautiful vestments, or smell beautiful incense. We are here to worship God, to give to him our whole being. And that, of course, is what St. Paul tells us. Be ye followers of me, brethren. And then in the Gospel, we have so many messages. First of all, we have our Lord speaking to the multitudes, as he always did, as we all must do. In the midst of this, a pagan, a Gentile, comes to him and says, "My daughter is dead." In some of the other versions of this gospel, it says, "My daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hand on her that she may live." In this one, it says, "My daughter is already dead," because nothing is impossible for God. And then in the meantime, as he is walking along, this very famous and important woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, it says here, other gospels say more. So these things are not the important thing. The thing is, he has been bleeding for a long, long time. I cannot imagine that. And she thinks, "If only I should touch the hem of his garments, of his prayer garments, the phylacteries of his prayer garment, I will be healed." So she has tremendous faith. So does the centurion, who is not even a Christian or a Hebrew. She's a Gentile. And it's important to have faith and to know that God can and will answer our prayers if we present them to him with humility and faith. And the first thing that happens is this woman, whom we know as Seraphia Bernice, a cousin of Herod. Immediately she was healed. Her flow of blood was dried up. She stopped bleeding. And of course we know her from her role in the Passion. She is none other than Saint Veronica. Saint Veronica, who then presented her very, very expensive veil to Christ. And he left her and us, because it is in the Vatican, with his image. Now, there are other several images of Christ that are not Veronica's veil, such as the one in Manopello, and some have confused it. That is not Veronica's veil. Veronica's veil is next to the papal altar, in the Trivium of Saint Veronica. And once a year, they take it out and people can see it and venerate it. And then the centurion, a Gentile. Now, where on earth did he get this faith? And this is something that you need to think about and pray about. Where do you get your faith? Or do you have faith? Or are you just going through the motions? Where do you get your faith? Obviously, he got it from the Holy Spirit. And that is where you need to go. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who bestows upon us all the gifts of the spiritual life unto the return of Christ in glory at the end of the world. And so he goes to where he was. He didn't need to go. Our Lord can do anything from any distance, but he wanted to go. He wanted to be present. He was there to teach, to preach, and to be a witness of God for all peoples. And all peoples are invited into the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, outside of which there is no salvation, despite what anybody may say. And so he comes. When he gets there, as was the custom in those days, it is still the custom in some countries, there was a loud dirge of people who were crying and moaning and carrying on for the dead girl. Now this was done because oftentimes the family was either too proud or too tired to cry. And in order that somebody would be crying over the dead person, they actually paid these mourners to cry. So our Lord goes in, and there's all these people there, and he says, "She's not dead, she's alive." And they laugh at him. "What kind of fool are you that you think she's alive? What? What do you think you are?" Little did they know. And he throws them out. And that's what he's going to do at the end of time with those people who are not faithful to him, those people who are not faithful to the one true church, to the one true faith. And it doesn't matter what their rank is. Out! Get out of my house! Get out of this house! You're not worthy to be in my presence. And he throws them out. And then he goes to the girl and takes her hand and says, "Tabitha ko'um, little girl, get up." St. Matthew doesn't say it, but other of the evangelists do. And that's why it's important to know the Gospels and the Scriptures. For you know, there are different situations that go from one Gospel to the other, but they're the same situations. And the little girl gets up. She's alive and well. And then she tells them, "Give her something to eat." Appetite is a sign of good health. Because some people have a lot of good health. Mamma mia, que cosa que mangiano troppo. And so the little girl gets up and she lives. And then everybody told everybody everything. Because if there is something that is certain, if you tell a group of priests, don't tell anybody, boy, they'll preach about it everywhere. If you tell a bunch of parishioners, don't tell anybody, boy, they'll go out and tell everybody. Catholics are big mouths. That's all there is to it. Because we are human, after all. And we are under original sin, even if we are baptized. And so everybody knows about it. And so here too we are. And we have many difficulties, some of us more, some of us less. I told the parishioners this morning, and we had a good number there too, that they would be surprised to hear, I'm surprised to hear, that Sunday is my least favorite day. And some people would say, "Oh, he's lazy, he doesn't want to work." No. When I was a teenager in the seminary, I asked God, "Send me suffering on Sunday so that I can help to save the church." And boy, did he take me at my word. Every Sunday, something happens, or something, or today, for instance, a lot of pain. I could barely get out of bed today. I was fine, or pretty much fine, last night. And the pain was incredible. I said, oh God, if you want me to say Mass, then you make it happen, because I cannot make it happen. It took me half an hour to put my socks on. I'm going to have to hire somebody to help me dress. The pain is beyond belief. You cannot possibly imagine. But here I am, second Mass, and my socks are well on. And of course, traditional priests wear shorter pants and longer socks. And let me tell you, they're not easy to put on. And I'm telling you a bunch of my secrets, you know. But Brother Jake was here, I bought him some cassocks and some pants that he could wear under the cassocks, because you don't wear usual pants like you do. And then I said, you need any socks? And he said, yeah, I have socks. So what are you going to do? And that's, of course, what a father is supposed to do for his sons, for his daughters, to make things happen. And so they're not easy to put on. So here I am, and my socks are well on. After much pain, so much pain I didn't know what to do, I continually cried out, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, oh, St. Veronica, and all the other saints, please, please help me. And they did, but it took a long time just to get my legs up to where I could put them on. And then pull, 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 you know, like one of those firing ranges. Pull, 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 but there was no shooting. And so today we need to remember that suffering is necessary in the kingdom of God. And if I ask for suffering, I got it. So be careful what you ask. But that also means that you need to be like St. Paul said, be ye imitators of me. Without suffering, without pain, we cannot save the church or the world in its horrible condition in which it finds itself. And every day it seems to be worse. I also read some rumors that I hope are not true about Pope Leo, and I wish I had not, because that really brought me down to the floor. I didn't fall, though. We need to pray for the Pope. We need to pray for the church. And we need to pray that the Holy Father may get rid of all those evil people that surround him that are trying to bring the church down. And I, with many, many other bishops and priests and some cardinals and many seminarians, will end this sermon with that cry, which you shall hear again and again from me, Our Lady, Mediatrix of all graces, pray for me. Our Lady, Co-Redemptrix of the human race, pray for me. All the saints and the popes have prayed this prayer. Now, who are these people today that they're going to try to get rid of that? God help us. Mary, Mediatrix of graces, and Co-Redemptrix, help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.